St. Louis's newest attraction, the National Blues Museum, is now open on Washington Avenue in St. Louis. Celebrate the evolution of blues and its influence on modern-day music with interactive exhibits and live concerts from local, regional, and national acts. The museum will also display traveling exhibits, plenty of educational programming for all ages, as well as artifacts from famed artists such as B.B. King and Chuck Berry. The National Blues Museum, now open in the heart of downtown St. Louis.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
They'll be playing this at the American Airlines Center tonight. Unbelievable.
It is. Maybe if the stars lose, people go seeking comfort and recreational hallucinations.
Man, this wins it. Sick. Plowshark, Anna Marie liked your post along with Larry Nickel. Say what you want about Timberfake, dude brings straight heat. Love that guy. Mm-hmm. But it's caused controversy on the fan page.
I didn't think he was. I mean, people like the show for entertainment purposes, and maybe I just haven't listened to the show for 10 years. I don't know Timberfake's shtick. I think he's hilarious. Now, it gets a little over the top, I agree. Kind of repeats himself like Mike Lee, but still, quality. I find it highly entertaining. Mm-hmm.
I see what you mean. Like, I have always thought, for the most part, that Rich in Maryland Heights is funny. And when he calls, he usually entertains me. Now, maybe sometimes it goes too long, but I usually think it's kind of funny, whereas he's a lightning rod, though, because so many people hate him. I think Timberfake is similar.
I like Rich in Maryland Heights.
Do you like Timberfake?
Yes, I do.
Do you like Carl Adam?
No. No.
I think he's funny as well.
I think he's funny as the day is long.
I think he's kind of creepy. You seen that picture of him running naked on a treadmill? No, thank you.
Why'd you see that?
I was out there. No, he's a little wild.
Where was this picture at?
I don't know where I saw it. One of his texts or something that he sent in. It was disappointing, I'll tell you
that.
Did
you ever think you'd be in this spot?
No, I didn't.
Like, when you got in this business, did you ever think this is the type of stuff?
They taught us this at Missouri Journal.
I was taught none of this. None of this.
You were taught about, like, ethics, like, what to do when you get a source. Do you have to confirm the source before you go with the big story?
Right.
And now this is what you deal with.
Uh-huh.
Naked pictures of dudes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was not covered at Missouri. Wasn't. No one ever did that kind of thing back then, as far as I know.
That's sad.
There wasn't a class, how do you deal with a text? I'm there in the late 70s. There wasn't a class that said, okay, let's fast forward to 2016. How are we going to deal as journalists with that text that comes in with a picture of a naked gentleman on a treadmill? We would have said, huh? Maybe I took the wrong major.
Let me ask you this. Back in the day, now, you're not that old, I know we joke, but back in the day, it seems like, well, I think it's for sure, that people respected others' privacy so much more where, like if an athlete, if something happened off the field with his wife or whatnot, like when did that line change where all of a sudden it's cool for everybody to know that? Because now,
what do you mean by that? Because I don't think people necessarily talk about, like, I mean.
No, I'm saying like on Twitter, though. What happened with Kyrie Irving, for example, where his girlfriend, you know, something was tweeted out that basically his girlfriend was cheating on him with this rapper that she previously dated. And then that became like a big thing. Whereas before
the internet,
social media, we didn't know about
internet,
that stuff.
The dawn of the internet made it all happen. Where I'm sure back in the day,
it really came, you know, in mid-90s. This is a more recent phenomenon. So therefore, I would equate it more to social media than the internet.
Agreed.
Well, maybe, but social media comes from the internet. I mean, people didn't have a voice like this to spread things around.
I understand, but, I mean, specifically, I would say it was social media. Tim, Doug took the pic of Adam naked on the treadmill. It's from Jockstrap?
No. Oh, thank you.
Is that true?
No, it's not true.
Were you on the elliptical taking
a shot? No, this looked like it was in his basement or something.
Charlie, I think I'm going to do some intervals up at 24 Hour Fitness today. I don't know if you're going to be up there. Oh, you're going to Dallas.
Yeah. I got an 11:45 flight. Southwest. Hmm. Direct.
Well, aren't you supposed to be there 2 hours?
Hashtag blessed.
You don't get there 2 hours before the flight leaves, do you?
I'm going to leave this program a little earlier. We're going to leave Fox 2 hopefully right at 10. get there at 10:15, hour and a half early, should be good.
Southwest?
Correct. Sea boarding group. That's good, right?
Oh, you got seed?
What we try to do, though, is you see when you have the camera on the plane, you do the pre-board. You say, oh, I got this equipment. I got to make
sure. You really
need
it because it's a lot different than just putting a piece of luggage up there.
Yeah,
it's a whole
lot
different.
Hey, we took three flights because we didn't have direct to Dallas on Saturday. And we
had a direct flight to Dallas?
We didn't. We had to go through Houston on the way there. Yeah, I had a direct flight to back. But we used the camera as an excuse to get pre-boarded all three times, and it worked.
To cheat other people out of their rightful seats.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for doing such a great public service on your TV station.
How is that cheating?
Well,
I want to protect our asset, our camera.
Everybody wants to protect what they have.
Our camera's more important than your little carry-on bag.
It isn't. All it takes, you just put it up there like another piece of luggage.
No,
that's
you got to put
and
maybe.
Done.
Nope, you got to put maybe a pillow. You got a brace.
Oh, you think you can handle that workload?
You got the light.
No, for crying out loud! Boy, I would never step in front of another passenger that way, Chuck. I guess that's just your Democratic roots.
I care about our equipment at the Two Fox.
You know, care about yourself is what you.
No,
care
your
about.
Camera is your lifeblood. Think about that.
All right. Well, I'm disappointed in you and your coworkers. But I've been disappointed in the past. Absolutely, I have. Never really to this extent.
Let me tell you, two flights, I was on that first row. Great leg room, Plowsy. I had my leg crossed over it one time. I had so much room, it was unbelievable.
And this is because you indicated to the flight attendant that you had to have some sort of special access to the airplane.
Let me tell you this, though. On the way back, I was in row two, and there was a really old guy, like, honestly pushing, like, 110. He was so old. He was really old. And then I felt really bad, like if I would have cheated somebody like that out of the front seat.
But you cheated someone out of a good seat. I hope it wasn't another senior.
No, if some really old person would have wanted to sit in that front seat, I would have got up. But he'd had to be over 80.
Were you going to do a birth certificate check?
No, I just look him up now and like, like, ah, you're good. You can sit behind me. But if
he's 79 and not in very good health, go on.
No, it's more based on, like, how is he walking, his posture.
Mm. Well, maybe it would be nicer if you just went to them before you boarded and say, hey, I see you're an elderly person. Perhaps you'd like to take my seat.
Elderly people also pre-board.
Well, how old?
I don't know the rules. What's elderly, Tim? 65?
It varies on the person. No, some people 65 are doing quite fine.
Yeah. I know, but like by definition,
Nina Hartley.
What is
she 65 now?
Gotta be in the range.
Probably.
Gotta be in the range. That woman that Jay had in for Foot Fetish Friday, Senka, but she was smoking so many damn darts, she could have been 38.
I'm gonna look it up.
Thank you. For who? Nina Hartley or for Senka?
What age are you considered elderly?
God, now I would say 80.
Yeah, it keeps going up.
I really would.
I mean, it also depends on how old you are. If you're 10, you think someone who's 45.
Right.
Well, pretty elderly.
I mean, I'm going to turn 40 here in 5 months, 4 months.
Doesn't feel so old now, does it?
No, but when my dad turned 40, I thought it was like, wow.
That's about the end.
Yeah. That's about the end.
It's about the end of the road.
Most developed world countries have accepted the chronological age of 65 years as a definition of elderly or older person, but like many westernized concepts, this does not adapt well to the situation in Africa. That was kind of a random
Was that from the STL Today comment section, or was that from something else? Let's see. I'm on board with Chuck here. I don't even know what he's on board with you on, but White Rascal, you have a vote of support for whatever the hell you're talking about.
Probably pre-boarding.
Okay.
Lying, swindling, doing whatever you can
for
yourself. Just like I'm going to go to the ladies' room if it's better for me.
I said, if there's nobody in the ladies' room, yes, you should use both restrooms for efficient usage. You're not going in there when there's women in there. I feel like that was understood.
No, I think it's best just not to go in.
If you have to really go.
Because you make a mess that women don't tend to make.
If you have to go really bad, though, you're not going to care.
If it's a true emergency, yes, an exception could be made.
Thank you.
Not just it's more convenient for me, so I don't care about anyone.
What if you
that's
have to
not,
wait?
That's not good.
What
enough.
If you have to wait 8 minutes?
I think you can sit there and wait 8 minutes. If you're doing the pee-pee dance, 8 minutes hangs like hours.
That's what I'm saying.
But nonetheless, I think you could probably hang
in
there for 8 minutes.
You're kind of going against yourself. Right
if you,
there.
Can just,
you thought about it.
You can just walk around for 8 minutes.
No,
it's if you
it
stop.
Sometimes.
If you really have to go and you stop, then you got an issue.
Yeah. Like I said, if the bathroom is open and you can lock it, you go in there.
I don't know. I don't think that's the right thing to do.
It's your opinion.
Okay. Dire emergencies.
The people have spoken.
Well, that is just you.
People are on my side. No, he just said somebody.
That's the entitlement generation. Sure, I should get whatever I want.
I'm not from the entitlement generation. That's not me.
Well, you're close.
Doug Adam just sent this in.
Oh, my God, is that disturbing. Now, is that him or is that just somebody else?
He has a nice deck, though.
He's got a pool.
Pool in his backyard? Yeah. How about this car, Adam? He's got it all. He's got a nice-looking wife, and he's got a pool and a lovely deck. This guy's got it all figured out.
Well, he's a little socially awkward. We don't need to see his naked pictures, do we? Is anyone in the world demanding naked pictures of this guy?
Are you able to delete people once they text in?
Seamaster, what's the deal with that?
That's the game changer.
Block him.
If somebody,
ladies and gentlemen, the
picture, you should be able to permanently block them from sending texts in, and then that would actually send a message to them.
We can delete the individual text or picture, but we do not have the capability of blocking them permanently.
I feel like you should.
Yeah.
There should be a warning program. Three strikes and you're out.
You can usually block people.
I don't think you can on the software. It's not our software.
Well, we need new software then, don't we?
Yeah, but I don't have to pay for this, so I kind of like it. The other thing I was paying like $1,000 a month for.
I don't know if this has ever happened before. We have a gentleman on hold that wants to talk to caller Adam. I don't know if he's aware that he doesn't work here. But maybe if caller Adam's available and wants to call in, maybe we can patch him in.
What are we, intermediaries now?
I guess.
We're hooking people up who want to talk to each other. They do it through our live show. What does he have to say, Plowsy?
He said, this is Dave, and I want to talk to caller Adam.
Is it Hall of Famer Dave, maybe?
I don't think so.
And so this is on line one?
Correct.
Doug, here he is.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Doug. Hey, Tim, it's Painter Dave again.
Painter Dave.
Painter Dave.
Yeah. Actually, the guy sitting next to Adam the other night, I almost cut my leg off with a chainsaw on Mother's Day, and he seems to be a chaps dealer. A steel dealer, and I needed some chaps for Doug and I.
You need chaps for me and you.
Yeah,
after
well,
you nearly cut your leg off with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
I guess I don't follow all that, but I'm kind of slow at times.
Well, Adam, I don't have Adam's number, and he's always calling in. I thought you guys could hook me up.
He's listening right now. Maybe he will call in. I'll put you on hold so you guys can communicate. This is the kind of show where our listeners will call in and have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Blues and Stars game 7 tonight.
These phone calls make my sinuses kind of act up. I think this can't
that
really
might be the lack of air circulation in the
really
papier-mâché palace.
The papier-mâché palace.
Yep.
That's a great name.
But Doug and the cat, when they walk out and they go by my office each day, they like to say goodbye just so they can hear me absolutely clearly through my office as if there's no wall there.
I will say this. We're 20 feet away from Hampton, and you don't hear a bit of a traffic
I know. It's
noise.
Almost like it taunts me how well that the soundproofing can be.
Yeah. We don't hear any of that.
Doug, this is the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour. Tease Farms has those strawberries available right now. Anna Marie brought some of those home. You can get those right now. They're the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and they are the 9 o'clock hour sponsor. Locations in Maryland Heights, St. Charles, and North Hanley. Pick your own strawberry. Fields are now open at the Maryland Heights location, Tease Farms, the sponsor of the 9 o'clock hour. Derek Gould going to join us here at 9:20. Cardinals with the win last night. Did the Cubs win? I assume they won. They just do that.
Of course they did.
Okay. Yep.
So were they about 19 over?
8 in a row they've won.
Doug, you like to pay attention to run differential. Are you ignoring it when it comes to the Cubs?
I'm not ignoring it. I'm not ignoring it at all. The Cubs are just hammering on everybody. You know, I like to talk about numbers when I talk about run differential.
Okay. What do you have?
Well, if this computer ran just a little
bit
faster,
plus 103.
I would get to it. Yeah, they sure are. And the Cardinals are not at plus 103,
but they
are at plus 47.
And you know what that is? Second best in baseball.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are a game over 500. The Cubs are going for 20 games over 500 today. On May 11th.
Yeah, they're going to win 105, 110 games maybe. Cardinals right now, half a game out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to go on all year.
I know.
Especially this year. It really is. You know, a lot of times we'll have predictions before seasons, whether it be baseball, football, college football, whatever the case might be. and Charlie and I do an NBA podcast.
Yeah.
Do you?
But, and they're off. But with this, we talked about this going into the year, that there would be haves and have-nots. It's just, if anything, the disparity is greater, I think. And even though, you know, the Mets and Nationals, relative to the Cubs, their records aren't in the same stratosphere. They are 8-7 games over 500, or Mets and Nationals, I should say, 8-7 games over 500, respectively. You get the sense that they are in a different class than a team like the Phillies, who are only a game back of the Nationals, that will probably trend down. Hell, the Marlins are only three games back of the Mets and 2.5 back of the Nationals. There is only one team above 500 in the National League West, and it's the Dodgers, and they're a game above 500. So there is this absurd disparity. The injury to Pollock took me off the Diamondbacks. I was really high on the Diamondbacks, over 82.5, not necessarily being in the same class as the Cubs. So I moved off that play. Loved the Cardinal under. And really, when you look back on it now, I just thought 92.5 wins for the Cubs was super high. You know,
they won 97 last year.
Not that it was super high. Let me put it this way. I just think that's a... I like the under on the Cardinals 87.5 more than I like the over on the Cubs. Cubs can play 500 the rest of the way and be a 91-win team. So, you know, when they have a doubleheader with the Padres today, it would be hard to imagine them getting swept by the Padres. They would lose a third of their games, or I guess 25% of their games at this point in one day if they were to lose to the Padres. And as we've observed, anytime we talk about the Cubs, it's not like they've really gotten that offense firing on all cylinders yet. Zobrist is on a tear. Rizzo power numbers are there. But, you know, it hasn't necessarily fired on all cylinders, although at this point they are leading the National League in runs. You still look at their individual numbers and you go, oh, there's room for improvement on a few of these guys. So
what you may not have expected from the Cubs is that right now they have the best pitching in all of baseball.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected the best pitching. I just was confused preseason why it was kind of, I don't know if I want to say, like, well, the Cardinals are the better pitching, the Cubs are the better offense. I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, I think most would agree that Arrieta's the best of the 10 pitchers. I think everybody would have agreed with that.
Well, he's the best of all pitchers in the game right
but
now.
But I think maybe there was some, oh, that was fluky, and we'll see what happens this year. But, you know, and then where would you put Lester? Like, would Lester be the Cardinals' one? He'd at least be in the discussion, I would think. The guy that's kind of come out of nowhere and is going to fall back to earth, you would think, is Hamill. But he's shipping it, too. Lackey's been average. He isn't what he was, at least at the end of the year, with the Cardinals. Joining us right now to get his perspective from Southern California, where the Cardinals won last night 8-1 and got a great start from Mike Leake. Ladies and gentlemen, Derek Gould on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Morning, Derek.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We were discussing the Cardinals being second in the league with the run differential at plus 47. They're just nearly 60 back of the Cubs in that category. It just shows how dominating and how statistically phenomenal this is, what the first-place team in the National League Central is doing. Your thoughts on what we are seeing from the Cubs and how it relates to the Cardinals' 2016 campaign?
Well, I think in the Cubs you're seeing a team that is playing the style of baseball and getting close to the pitching that the Cardinals had last season. And to that, they're adding a dominant offense. So imagine the Cardinals of 2015, that 100-win team, if it had a thunder punch offense, and that's the Cubs.
You see that slowing down at all? Or I mean, they can't possibly play at this level for 162, can they?
I think the pitching is going to slow down. I think that rotation is still going to have its hiccups. It might get some innings packed on it here. You know, you look to July and August, and you know, around the deadline, adding a starter for them would make a lot of sense, because I think it's going to fray and cause some problems there. Now their offense might be able to carry it for those 2 weeks, so they might still win. But I think the rotation is something that could drag them down a little bit, just because, you know, as they get into that, let's say, 18 to 22 start, I think some of their pitchers might not be going as well. Some of those starts will get shorter. The bullpen will be taxed a little bit more. I mean, right now they've done a really good job of hiding or not having to use too much of a bullpen that probably won't be all that great.
Yeah.
And they just have hit it. And at some point in time, that bullpen's going to have to get involved because the pitchers are going to go shorter or the pitchers are going to have problems. And at that time, the offense can either carry them or you'll see the Cubs make a move for a starter at the deadline or maybe a reliever or maybe both at the deadline to kind of fortify and then carry them into October.
The Cubs have scored the most runs in the game. That includes all mm-hmm. those American League teams, and they have allowed the fewest runs in the game and are in the midst of an 8-game winning streak with a doubleheader today at home against the Padres. Derek Gould with us here on the radio program. You know, if you would have said this time last year, May 11th, 2015, Derek, that the National League Championship Series would be the Cubs and the Mets, I think first off people would have gone, huh? And then secondly, would have not necessarily been all that excited about it outside of the Cub cachet that brings in the non-baseball right. fan. This year, if it were the Cubs and the Mets, or even the Cubs and Nationals, you'd be like, wow, this is absolute power versus power as far as starting pitching against a lineup. And I think at this point most would agree that it's either the Mets or Nationals that would be the second-best team in the National League. You take a look at everybody else, and with the exception of the Phillies, everybody's within a game or two of being 500, or they're just horrible.
Right.
It's an odd dynamic when you take a look at the standings in the National League.
No, I agree, and that's why the Cardinals are kind of in that weird place. They're in the neutral ground of the National League. They're not one of the elites. They're a team that can absolutely rip away and pound away on lesser teams, but they haven't distinguished themselves against the better teams. They haven't been able to play toe to toe with the teams that are supposed to be their peers, and that's put them in that little odd place. I know the Pirates are kind of in the same spot, except for they've had great success against the Cardinals. So I don't know. Yeah, it's a really weird year in baseball because of the disparity between the top of the leagues and the bottom of the leagues. There's just, to borrow the phrase from John Mozilla, I'm not sure there's ever been this wide of a delta.
Oh, nice.
There it is again. So many nice. Teams.
Nice.
I guess what we've seen the last couple games, though, with Wainwright and last night Leak pitching well, that kind of puts a mm-hmm. different light on the Cardinals' hopes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to answer a question with a question there, Doug, but
I think it does. I mean, if Leak can pitch anywhere close to the way he did last night, if he's found something, Wainwright said he found something, I think the Cardinals are a different team if those two guys could pitch up to their potential.
Absolutely. They're the team that they set out to be, one that is pitching first and has offense to score more runs than they did last year to kind of gap out games so that not everything's like a 3-2, 4-3 game or a 3-1 game. They have an offense that can do what it did last night, where it can take a game where it was 2-0, 3-0, and then make it into an 8-1 and not have any questions about it. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that, if the Cardinals are going to start scaling the standings, it's not just that they get a run against lesser teams. It's a series like this Dodgers one coming up where they get the pitching to sort of guide them, to really lead them and to give them the quality start plus, that 6-7 innings. 3 fewer runs, and then they'll win a lot of games.
And maybe two of their most important hitters, Carpenter and Holiday, both had the best nights they've had in a while,
yeah.
too. So maybe some of the veterans are starting to get in the groove. Or was that batting practice that the Angels pitchers were throwing last night?
Well, allegedly that's their best pitcher. So, I mean, at the start of the game, because
yeah.
they've been just ravaged by injuries, excuse me, that Santiago is the best that to see. I think here in the Angels, the Cardinals are seeing another team that they should just absolutely have some romps on. They should have some fun against. And I think what Holiday did last night, Carpenter with a couple of home runs, but what Holiday did last night, it's kind of goes with maybe what to see from him in the coming weeks, where, you know, as the weather warms up, you start plunging into mid-May, late May, he warms up. That's what the Cardinals would like to see. He's had slow starts before, but then when he gets going, he's able to kind of maintain that to the finish.
What a unique spot the Angels are in. If you'll agree with me, then I'll stick with unique. I was going to change up the adjective. But specific.
Yeah, weren't we taught at J school never to use that word?
Yeah, unique, yeah. Very interesting. I think they all fall under the same umbrella of being just white noise. So I apologize to all of the J school alums listening, Doug, and I know there are numbers of J school alums listening to this show.
Absolutely. They all tune in to hear us talk.
Yep. Thank you, Derek. You're exactly right.
It's kind of a clinic symposium.
But it is a mess in Anaheim, and for one of the main reasons you just stated, which is Hector Santiago's their alleged number one, and there really aren't a lot of great choices, and you'll see that tonight with what they're putting out there to start game two of this series. But you have one of, if not the best, offensive players in the game, and he is in a spot where he is relegated to irrelevant as far as the team's success because of the issues they have on the mound, but they also have some dead weight in the lineup as well. And so we saw a discussion pick up some steam here over the last 48 hours, Derek, about should the Angels consider trading Mike Trout? What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, that was something it was the talk of the ballpark, and actually is something that is, I was out at Albert Pujols' charity golf tournament there on Monday trying to kill time, talk with some other folks about. Mostly folks who are just fans of the game or interested in the game, but a few other folks who were around who actually have business with the game, no players, that I was talking to. But, you know, I find it, the catch that I get to, Tim, and you guys can maybe help me work through this, is who could make that trade?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of team, you know, I give the example that Shelby Miller with the Braves, when they traded him to Arizona, was able to get the 1-1 player, the drafted first overall player in the shortstop Swanson. So if Shelby Miller can get that and a major league ready outfielder who's pretty good, what can Mike Trout get? And, you know, somebody recommended, I think it was on the writer's block, they suggested to me that the Phillies could put together a package to get Trout because of their young pitching and because they have some high draft picks coming up, if they wanted to make the deal eventually, because you can't trade draft picks. But let's say they traded those prospects, and that's I get that idea, but then the Phillies would be trading what they've rebuilt and what they want to rebuild around for a single player. So the best answer I heard yesterday was that maybe a team like the Dodgers can make a deal like that, where they're all right at the major league level, really good at the minor league level, have a lot of prospects, and can combine those two things for a trade for a Mike Trout without taking away from the major league team and only adding to it. So it's going to take a special team to kind of pull, or a special organization in a special spot to make that kind of move. In fact, you'd have to think about, like, maybe the Cardinals 3 years ago, is that kind of team being able to make that move. One who could trade a Piscotty Taveras level prospect, a Martinez, Waka, Gonzalez level prospect, and still be able to maintain the quality at the major league level and only add to it. So the Angels have to get a haul, and, you know, I guess where I go with that is who could pull that off?
Any chance the Cardinals would trade for Mike Trout?
Yeah, I think they could get him. Well, you know, if only they had kept Brendan Ryan.
That would have gotten it done.
That would have done it.
That would have gotten it
just
done.
Just for fun, what would it take? Piscotty, Diaz, Carlos Martinez? Those three, would that get Trout?
Reyes.
Throw Reyes in there and you'd have a deal?
Yeah, just throw him
Alex
in.
Alex Reyes. Take Diaz out. Waka. I mean, you're talking, what are the best that the Cardinals had to offer?
Fans.
You'd be like, Harrison Bader. I mean, you have to offer up an outfielder to replace Trout, so, you know, they're not going to ask for Grichuk back. So, I mean, it's just, it's a lot. It's just, it would take a lot to get a guy like that because he's a transformative player. And the question is, what would the cupboard and the roster look like after making that move? We joked yesterday that Mike Trout could be the forgotten player to be named later in the Edmonds trade, and that actually written into that deal was that at some point in time in the future, the Cardinals could acquire a player with a one syllable first name and an animal for a last name.
Ooh,
and
nice.
The Angels meant Tim Salmon, but looky here, it's Mike Trout.
Yeah. Doug, I'd do that deal.
Yeah, I didn't know trades like that actually happened.
Yeah, they do.
They don't. We were just
PTBNL. PTBNL. Derek Gould with us in Los Angeles, Anaheim to be specific, Cardinals game two. One more, and then they head up to Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers. As far as the mood of the team as they head out to the West Coast, and perhaps, I guess, specifically, Derek, Mike Matheny, 30 games in, approximately a little more than 30 games into the season. How would you characterize Matheny's attitude on this team? This is the first time he or anybody really with the organization has been in this spot in a while where it's only May 11th. And at this point, I mean, it would have to take something highly unlikely because it's not like you're going, the Cubs are playing out. The people expected the Cubs to be really good. It's,
right.
They've got an uphill battle on their hands, even though it's only May 11th. What's Matheny's attitude or any conversations you have about the situation the Cardinals have with this particular division this year?
Yeah, he usually, when talking about it, I know Hockman asked him at the press conference the other day after the game, what should he tell fans or how should fans feel about this start and how uneven and uncharacteristic at times it's been and where they sit in the standings. And, at times Mike is, his usual response to that is that the team's record isn't as good as they've played and the team is capable of playing better, but it is playing better than any of its critics think. That if its critics want to rely on the standings alone, the record alone, then they're missing what this true team is. And that's led to some of the answers that Mike had about a week ago, it was in this last homestand, where he said that they've even surprised themselves with how good they are, that they're better than even some of their expectations. So it's something that he has done in the past where if you question where the team is in the standings, you're not using the right number to judge the team, and you can't possibly know how good they are as the people in the clubhouse do. So in a way it plays into his hand because he can say it's us against the world and people doubt us and here you are doubting us again and we'll show you. But it's also a team is what its record is, and that this team is the epitome of that. I mean, I don't think you'd watch this team play and go, well, that's a winning team. That's a team that has a winning record. And then you look to the standings and be surprised. I think you'd watch this team and go, this is a meandering team. It can't quite find itself. It's got some wobbly legs. It's a little like a toddler taking his hands off the coffee table and trying to walk for the first time. That's about a 500 team, and that's what they are.
17-16 going into tonight's festivities in Anaheim. Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch, Cardinal beat reporter and co-host of the Writer's Block here on CBS Sports 105.7 and 920 with us here on the Appliances Counter phone lines. Derek, appreciate the time. Thanks for getting up early, sir. We appreciate it, man.
All right. Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Gould.
Derek Gould with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Doug Ryan Kelly makes this whole thing possible. Tell the listeners why they have to do business. I'm going to have my sister do business with Ryan Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
My family does business.
Well, they should.
Then, obviously, I think highly of Ryan Kelly.
If you're a homeowner or future homeowner,
This is the guy that you need to know. This is the phone number you need to write down. 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. Now, why do I need the number? Because this is a guy you're going to call that's going to get you the best deal on your mortgage. If you have a mortgage already, you're not in the market really to buy a home, but you've got a mortgage right now and the rate's a little high, you need to go here and get refinanced. You need to get into a lower interest rate, save you money, hundreds of dollars potentially a month, maybe thousands of dollars, tens of thousands over the life of the loan. So give him a call. Doesn't cost anything to call in and find out what he can do for you. He's done a lot of things for a lot of people, and that's why he's the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest, and that's according to the Scotsman's Guide. He was number three in the nation for FHA volume, number nine in the country for most loans closed last year. So a lot of people are going to Ryan Kelly. The phone is ringing off the hook because he's got great rates, and the service is outstanding. 314-781-9700, and the website is thehomeloanexpert.com, Home Loan Expert, LLC.
There it is, Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor of this award-winning presentation. We have the emails coming up. It's email of the day. Seamaster, what do I got here? I think I got Stephen Wild with the two wins, Matt Ubles at Hanks with two wins, Barnhart Brawler got on the board, and then Cucky the Dwarf and Misty Plops. I think those are the standings. I'm doing this from memory, okay?
That is absolutely correct.
Yep, yep, that's how good I am. That's the memory. A lot of people start talking about it. You know, people are starting to talk about it a little bit.
I don't know that anyone's talking about it.
DraftKings is where you can try and challenge me. You won't win. Actually, I lose all the time on DraftKings. But, hey, give it a run. Maybe I'll set up some teams today.
Well, your dad's not the administrator on that computer account, is he?
They're having the daily fantasy sports hearings in Washington today in front of Congress. This is an important day in daily fantasy sports history.
Right. Congress is concerned about people playing fantasy baseball. Great. The world is falling apart. Let's discuss fantasy baseball.
So there was an article on STLtoday.com 2 days ago that Missouri would get $10 million per year in revenue from daily fantasy sports regulation.
Could you use that money?
I would think. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice.
I don't even know who's really against this, by the way. It falls under the same umbrella as poker.
I think people are worried that the insiders are cheating it.
Yeah.
That was the big deal last year, wasn't it? Who work for these companies were winning.
Well, all the advertising where they were on every commercial break got people going, what's all this about? And then they had the story on the insider thing. So either way, I'm 100% for it, and I play it, and I recommend our audience enjoys it as well. It's the best. Daily Fantasy Baseball, it's in full swing, and you can experience the thrill of Daily Fantasy Baseball all season long at DraftKings.com with Daily Fantasy at DraftKings. There are no season-long commitments. It's like a brand-new season every time you play, and playing simple. Just draft two pitchers, an eight-position player, standard the salary cap, and outscore the competition to turn your love of baseball into cash. Only DraftKings brings the excitement of fantasy baseball to this level with every strikeout, diving catch, and monster home run bringing you closer to payday. Millions of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. New contests start daily, so hurry to DraftKings.com now. Enter promo code 920. It's promo code 920 and play for free with your first deposit in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That's promo code 920 to play for free in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. We'll take a break. Come back with our email today. It's Ryan Kelly. Morning after.